It's interesting in Matthew chapter 6, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, we have what's often called the Lord's Prayer. I can tell you this prayer that Yeshua taught us would better be called the disciples' prayer. It's the way we address the Lord and pray to Him and put emphasis on the things that He puts emphasis on. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17, where the Lord, Yeshua addresses the Father concerning us and what He desires of us and from us. I want to tell you that in this chapter, chapter 6 of Matthew, Yeshua warns us about being like the hypocrite. How many know what the word hypocrite means? How many know the literal meaning of the word hypocrite? There's some here who do. Tell them, Ted, you have the Greek.
I'm going to leave that up to you.
Okay. Okay, he left it up to me. The word hypocrite is a play actor. He's acting a part. Okay? I want to tell you about a play actor who was well known in this country and other parts of the world and who died recently. He was 90 years old. And what he says about himself, he left this message about himself. And I have this magazine, it's called The Week, and on the front it says obituaries, the Bond who laughed at himself, Roger Moore. Bond means James Bond.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
Do you remember that? So here's what people looked at. This is about the second James Bond. The first one was Sean Connery, but Roger Moore was the second one, and he was probably the most handsome. But it says the suave actor who charmed as James Bond. Roger Moore was in many ways the antithesis of James Bond. He played James Bond, this great spy for the British, but he was the opposite of what he looked like on the screen. This great hero, not afraid of anything. It says that he was the antithesis, the fearless spirit of the fearless British spy he played from 1973 to 1985. A self-confessed coward, and it puts that in quotation marks. He was a coward and he confessed it. The actor was a hypochondriac. We know that he thinks he has every sickness. And scared of heights, and he hated loud bangs. Every time I had to fire a gun, I blinked, he said. They always had to go through the film and edit the frame where I closed my eyes. Every time he shot the gun, he closed his eyes. It upset him. He didn't even like vodka martinis, which he was drinking all the time, shaken or stirred. But with his debonair charm, witty one-liners, and trademark raised eyebrow, Moore became a hugely popular 007. That was his number as a spy, a role he played more times than any other actor. Unlike his predecessor, Sean Connery, Moore wholeheartedly embraced Bond's inherent absurdity. In other words, this isn't really like he is inside of him, and it really shouldn't be like a spy would be. You can't be a real spy and have everybody in the world know you are and what you drink is, he said. That's just hysterically funny. So, I remember Brother Nottage that I've told you about was from Jamaica and came and talked to us, and he used to use street language to emphasize a point, and he really had the King's English, but he said to believers, act what you is. Well, this about James Bond is acting what you ain't. Okay? And the Lord says to us, as a believer, don't be like that. Be the real thing. Don't say one thing and act another. If you're going to be a believer, act like a believer. He says, in giving money, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a play actor. Don't go around telling people how much you gave and having them say, you know, he's such a wonderful guy. He's so generous. He says, you aren't looking to be honored by men. Just so you're living for God and you're being honored by Him. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Don't be like that. Don't pray and do things publicly to be seen by men. And he says, fasting. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So what I'm doing here is telling you what Jesus said about our addressing the Lord and what he says to the Father concerning us and what he would have for us to do. I think that's important, don't you? How he would have us address him and what he says to the Father about what he desires for us. Wouldn't you say those two things are vital? And one day we're all going to stand before Yeshua. And there's nothing about us that he doesn't know. So there's no fooling him. There's no telling God, look, Lord, get it straight. He's got it all straight. He knows everything. And he tells us about prayer, and he says that when we pray, hypocrites like to pray standing in the synagogues to be seen by others. Let me tell you, I was reared in Judaism, in the synagogue, in the Hebrew class, and so forth. And it used to be that in the shul, now they didn't pass the plate the way Christians do. In the shul during Yom Kippur, I don't know if they do this now, people would get up, men usually, and give a pledge of the money to the synagogue. And I remember that time, you'll have to forgive me for telling this because it just sticks with me, that the rabbi told us that it would be the time to pledge. And I thought, well, I've got $5. I can give that. And so he calls on Mr. Epstein before me. And Mr. Epstein gets up and says, Rabbi, I pledge $25,000. So I'm sitting there with my five. And I said, I better not say anything. You know, it doesn't look too good after somebody pledges $25,000 that I say I pledge five. Well, you know, we're often very much concerned about how we look in front of other people. And it's not just when we're kids that this happens. It happens as an adult. And that's just what Yeshua is emphasizing. You don't have to live in terms of what others think about you. Live in terms of what the Lord is telling you to do. And don't worry about what the people around you are going to say. If you're living for God and you're doing the things He tells you, that's what counts. It's interesting because I was looking at the TV some time ago, and here comes the daughter of an important composer talking about her father. Now, I'll tell you what her father wrote. Her father wrote two of the famous songs that are thought of as songs for the Christian holiday. One is White Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. And you know the rest of it. And of course, it doesn't say anything about Yeshua. It's writing cards, it's sleigh bells ringing and everything. And the other one is, she'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. It's largely about what she's going to wear, which has nothing to do with Easter. It says nothing about the resurrection of Yeshua. And this man who wrote it was Jewish. His name was Irving Berlin. He lived a good long life. He lived to 103, I think. But his daughter said, and oh, by the way, he wrote God Bless America. Everybody knows God Bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. She said, everybody would be amazed to hear that my father was an agnostic. Now, that is rather shocking, isn't it? But you know, in this country, a lot of what is pictured as religion is just like that. And I think God wants us not to be putting on a show and not to say things that aren't real in our hearts. The Lord is looking for the real thing about our being committed to Him, about seek ye first, primarily, the kingdom of God, the rule of God, and His righteousness. And He says, I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of your needs. Now He says, concerning prayer, When you pray, do not be like a hypocrite. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And you know what I decided to do one day? I decided to time myself on saying what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer. How long do you think it takes to say this? It takes somewhat less than 30 seconds. Isn't that amazing? But you know what? It's not as though we are supposed to so memorize this that we say this, these exact words every time. He's telling us what's important to pray about. These are things that are really vital for us. And since it's Father's Day, the first two words are really vital, whether it's Father's Day or any other day. Our Father. Our Father. I want you to notice something. That in this prayer, the pronouns are plural. Know why I think the pronouns are plural? I think we aren't to just pray for ourselves. We're to pray, yes, for our loved ones, but for the body. We're part of the body. We aren't to think ourselves separate from the body of Yeshua. It says in the book of Corinthians, by one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. It was interesting, too. Yesterday, I had to take Gracie to the Secretary of State's office and renew her, what do we call that? She has a handicap tab that we use in the car when we're parking. She had to renew it. And the person who waited on us was a very charming African-American lady, and she noticed we brought the Bible. We thought we were going to have to wait, so we brought the Bible to for both of us to read. And she says, so you've got your sword with you, she said. So we understood she must be a believer. And she waited on us right away. She was so courteous. And Gracie explained to her how she had lost her sight, much of her sight, by a medication she took. And this woman grabbed a hold of her hands and started praying right there. Amen. And I said, Gracie, isn't that something? That God led you to this person, and this person is a believer. Hallelujah. Who grabbed her hands and prayed for her. That shows, although we didn't go to the same congregation as she, we belong to the same family.
That's right.
You know, when I was in the Army, a lot of the chaplains, the way they preached, you could tell they didn't know the Lord. We met a lot of soldiers from different parts of the country who did know the Lord. And in that in that environment where most of it isn't about the Lord, to meet a fellow believer was like gold. And we had a different attitude than a lot of people have in civilian life, where they say, well, does he have the same doctrinal stand as we? Is he perfect on all the details that we're perfect on? It's not like that. You can tell when you meet a person whether he or she really knows the Lord. We knew right away that this woman and the Secretary of State's office knew the Lord. And here she grabs Gracie's hand and prays for her. I met people in the service. It didn't take me long to know this is a brother in the Lord. And we had close fellowship, not because we belonged to the same congregation back home, but we did belong to the same body. We were all baptized into the same body. We were one in spirit. And so the Lord taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. That's first and foremost, to know him, and we're worshiping a holy God. Your kingdom come. Lord, we're waiting for your rule to come and be exercised on this whole world. But in the meantime, Lord, we want your rule in our lives. And we want to live for your glory. And we aren't seeking our own, Lord. Your kingdom come, your rule come over me too. Lord, get out of my life everything that's a violation of you and your rule. Your will be done on my earth, on the earth around us. These are people who belong to the same body. And who is the one who provides for us? Don't think I provide for myself. Because if the Lord withheld the sun and withheld the rain, there would be no provision. Give us today our daily needs, Lord. We're totally dependent on you. Forgive us our sins, Lord. And enable us truly from the heart to forgive those who sinned against us. And don't allow us to fall into Satan's grip. You know, we're walking in a fallen world. We all have that possibility of falling and being gripped by the enemy. And don't allow us to fall into his hands. Lord, help us so equip ourselves spiritually each time we get up and when we walk through the day, that we will be delivered from the evil one constantly. Lord, deal with these thoughts that come to our mind that are wrong, that we know are contrary to your will. Take them out, Lord. Cleanse us. So then, after he tells us this, he goes into this footnote, this explanation about forgiveness. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's one of the hardest things in life, is really forgiveness. And guess what? That's what the gospel is all about. Yeshua came as the atoning sacrifice for whose sin? Every one of us. And if God's main reason for sending the Messiah was to cleanse us of unrighteousness, and put the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts so we can live for Him, then we have to learn what He came for in our hearts, forgiveness. That should be one of the paramounts in the life of a believer, forgiveness. And God says, if you want to be forgiven, you and I have to forgive. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we address our Father in heaven. We even use plural pronouns because we are concerned about our brothers and sisters, whether they're in the body or not in the body. We want God's rule to come and we look for that. We don't look for perfection in the world's rule. We look for it in Yeshua. He's the provider, so we look to Him. And Lord, with Your help, we are going to know Your forgiveness. And that's why prayer is so important. We can't live this way if we don't have contact with Him. And our contact with Him comes through prayer and the reading of the Word. The power of the Holy Spirit. Outside of prayer and contact with Him and having the Spirit of God constantly in our heart, these things are not possible. And it's interesting because in this final prayer, and I would suggest all of you read it when you go home. It's in John 17. This is the real Lord's Prayer. The other is the disciples' prayer. He first prays for the disciples who are with Him. He first prays for Himself, really. That's the first part of the prayer. Then He prays for the disciples who are with Him. And lastly, He prays for us who were going to become disciples in the future. My prayer is not for them alone, for the disciples with Him. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, in other words, through the preaching of the gospel, that all of them may be one. One. The main prayer of Israel concerning God is Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Echad, one. That all of them may be one. The oneness. Now, what has been the problem within the professing church, the outward church? Lack of unity. Here, God wants us to have unity. Just as, Father, You are in Me and I am in You, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that You sent Me. How will the world know that Yeshua was sent by God, by our unity, by our oneness? Jesus' own brothers who were not following Him asked Him, what must we do to be doing the work of God? And here's what He answered. Here is what you have to be doing to do the work of God. He's addressing his own Jewish brothers. This is the work of God. and this is for Jew or Gentile, that you believe on the name of the one He has sent. That you believe Yeshua and who He is. He says, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. He came that we might be cleansed of our unrighteousness. Receive the Holy Spirit. He's holy. And live a life of holiness for God. So, He says, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory. Look, when you see all that's happening in the world, I say, praise God that He promised that He goes to prepare a place for us. And if He did that, He will come again and receive us to Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. I want to be with Him eternally. I don't see this world as this great, beautiful, eternal place that we want to be in forever, but to be with Him where there's no more death and no more disease and no more disaster. And if you read about the New Jerusalem, that's what it is. And I know Gracie has always said when we sit down to eat, let's not talk about death, disease, and disaster. You know, we often get on the wrong step. Let's not talk about death, disease, and disaster here at the table. I said, Gracie, should we include diet? She says, no. We aren't talking about diet. We're talking about the Lord promising us a place where there will be no more of this horror to face, where we will be with Him forever. And if there's any one thing we should add to that we should live to see Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you Lord of many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I want to hear Him say, well done. Listen, have I got a ways to go? Yes. I've got things to get right. I've been a believer since I was 17. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. Being a believer however long, you're never at a place where you say, now it's all perfect. You know? I think it means when we see in a mirror dimly that this side of eternity there will always be something to become better spiritually within us. Lord, clear out of my mind thoughts that are wrong. Clear out of my mind and my heart wrong motives. And Lord, truly make me put You first. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me may be in them. And that I myself may be in them. Isn't that something? That kind of love in us. Lord, do that. Do put this love continually in our hearts. And enable us to live the life that glorifies You. Fill us all afresh with your Spirit, that we may walk in your presence, and when we stand before you, hear your well done. I ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.